This is RSBNB Update, episode 343, recorded Friday the 13th, January 2012. The Burning Question. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this episode of RSBNB Update. What might be the last RSBNB Update if you believe in conspiracy theories, specifically because we're recording this on Friday the 13th.
Indeed.
And that's Paul, PFK99, SilverWiz9. For those of you guys who don't remember, who weren't here in the long time in the past, he made his first appearance on the show by entering a Valentine's Day contest where he married a guy on RuneScape.
Indeed.
You did?
Well, it was a girl at the time. It worked out. He's engaged in real life now. And last I knew, he had computer problems, so I offered up a solution. I haven't heard back in about a month and a half. So, yeah, how about that?
Yes, and Trekkie's here.
Hi, everybody. I'm back.
Well, that's to be expected. Now.
Yes.
So, we got a good selection of RS news, specifically because last week JX decided to ship an update on Wednesday.
Right.
And that was the Barrows update, a very Barrows New Year. Now, we discussed this in the behind the scenes, and it's essentially a graphics update, so there's really not that much to say about this, except now that we've actually seeing the items. So, Trekkie, what do you think?
The clothes are ugly. I think almost everybody I've talked to said they like the old ones better. Artem's hood actually covers your eyes, and you look like you have an eagle's beak running down your head. And it's just doesn't look nice.
You know, I've heard that same opinion from everybody else. They say they're ugly, but I am the only person I know to say that they like the way the new armor looks.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just looks more detailed, I think. The old armor was very RuneScape 2-ish in that you could run it on the first RS2, because we got to remember Barrows came out in 2005, so the armor really wasn't that high in terms of graphical quality. Sure, it got a bit of an improvement when HD came out, but that's it. So this is just in line with everything else that has been happening to the game, and you know, I like it. I think it's a necessary step. Some people don't, but it's not like a user interface change where it adversely affects how you play the game, because even if you're, as you said, your player's eyes are covered, you can still see, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, you're missing the eyes if you're wearing the hood at all.
Okay.
Wow, everything's cheap.
Well, for Barrows?
Yeah.
Well, they basically almost everybody kind of went there and just did a bunch of Barrows run. But
well, no, it's like the most expensive set, 6.2 mil. That's for I don't even know what that
Welcome
is.
Welcome to 2011, Paul.
Yeah, but it's like everything's cheap. Jeez. It's like I left with decent amount of cash, and now it's like I come back and buy everything for like 50 mil that I sold for a lot more than that. But, jeez.
Yeah. And, you know, with this, they also said you would be getting a chance of double loot on any runes, bolt racks, or barrows items you may receive. And in the behind the scenes, we thought that that was going to be double loot like it was back in November there. But it turns out that it was just a 1 in 10 chance of getting that double loot. So that was a little bit disappointing.
And is that still going on? Or is that like
no, that was only in the game till the 11th.
All right.
Just only there for a week.
Yeah.
That gets more people out there, I suppose. And now that Barrows is fairly not even high-end anymore, it's like, you gotta get some reason to get someone to go out.
Yeah. And also, with this, aside from updating the way the armor looks, they actually updated the crypts themselves. I didn't go down into the crypts, but I think you went down there, right, Trekkie?
Yeah, I went down there. I don't know. I didn't really see anything completely new. except for the new brother that was released a couple of months ago.
With the Ritual of the Majorat quest.
Yeah. Aside from that, everything else, well, I can remember when I did a long time ago, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Slight touch-ups here and there, but nothing.
And they did make the combat levels of the creatures increase, but I think the general consensus was that they're the same relative difficulty, right?
Yeah, well, easy for us because we've done it so many times.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For what I'm not too sure, but I think they kind of scale with your level. But I might be completely wrong on that. Yeah, so the higher level you are, the higher they are. But relatively speaking, you could have a medium combat skill, just have protection prayers, and you're fine. Just bring a little more food. And with if you ever done the vampire quest, you have the whole dragon medallion, so you can teleport from barrels back to the bang and vice versa really, really quick.
Yeah, that is good. So, anyways, that's the rest of the Barrows update. Not really much to say there since it's just graphical. Next up is a lore for this week's quest called Twice Burnt. And since I really wasn't in the mood to read a little story here about how this happened, I didn't read this. But you guys can go and read that on your own time. I'm sure it's very interesting.
People still read now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Reading is an essential skill.
And,
you can't get through life without it.
Some people have. They mostly pay other people, though.
So, yeah. Anyways, right. let's focus on the actual quest now. The Firemaker's Curse. So, last week in the behind the scenes, the firemaking requirement was level 91. And after we recorded, in typical Jagex wisdom, it's changed and it became level 74. Now, we all said it should be lowered last week, but I felt 82 to 85 should have been a more happy medium. What do you think?
Paul, you want to go first?
It went down to 74 from 92.
91. It was 90.
91. Even then, that's... What's this rated at? Master?
Master.
Grandmaster.
Yeah, Master should be in the 80s, not in the 70s. 70s is not all that hard.
Well, if you ever did the quest, it's not really that hard anyway, so...
Well, the other apartments aren't too... Construction... Oh, Constitution. and agility, that's not too bad. And it says the new training method and pets are available at 91 firemaking, so that's clearly why they had it at 91 to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 80s would have made more sense to give you something to look forward to, because at 74 you're not thinking about 91 training.
Exactly. That was my thoughts exactly. And also, if you think about it, 73 is about 1 million XP. Then if you go up into the 80s, that's another 1 million. So rather than chopping it down that much, I mean, even 87... or 82 to 89 would have been a double in XP. So, I mean, sure, we could have taken it down to the 80s and that would have accomplished the goal they were trying to achieve, but it seems with just going down to 74, they just plain butchered it, you know?
And you won't be able to see the new training method until the pets.
Until 91.
Until 91.
But, you know, we'll get there later, but it's really not that worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, so, it's fire making.
And, you know, this is something that I don't agree with, because it doesn't make sense of why this would happen. Why 74? Why not something more in between? I mean, this quest went through, of course, the design phase, the implementation phase, the bug testing phase, and the quality assurance phase. And it took that long for it to get to realize this requirement was too high. So the question is, did this come out of the QA department, or did it come out of the players concerned about it?
I would have said that it was because people were complaining about it. You know how people are, but...
And if that was the case, if players were complaining about it, JX has just set a dangerous precedent here by caving into the players' demands. Essentially, what they're doing here is the equivalent of socialism. Give one bite, people will want a whole nugget.
What's wrong with having a whole nugget?
I like chicken nuggets.
Exactly.
Okay, well, maybe the chicken nugget was a bad bad comparison here.
But yeah, I'm sure it would have had to have been player outcry. I can't imagine the QA would say, oh yeah, we're going to have to lower that down. It's got to be for players. And I don't know. They kind of yielded a bit too much. But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, 82 to 85 would have been ideal in my view. But anyways, that's beside the point now.
Masters, huh? Yep.
It's Masters? I thought it was Grandmaster.
It was Grandmaster. It is Grandmaster. Well, let me double check this really quick.
I mean, I read Grandmaster on the thing, but quest length long, and it doesn't say the difficulty level on here, does it? On their page for it, which, like, I mean, they did kind of need a. They do kind of need their old manual page with the, say, 5 most recent quests and keep that.
Really dislike their new design of the website. It's pretty junky. It looks kind of nice, but UI is terrible.
Quests. 5 newest quests. Here we
go. It says some official difficulty is master, official length is long.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find this information on the actual Jagex wiki, but it appears to be missing.
Here. I found it. Let's see.
Oh, no. Quest classification. Originally classed as a Grandmaster quest, discussion surrounded the release led players to believe the quest would be downgraded to Master following its reduction in fire making. It is currently listed as a Grandmaster quest in RuneScape. This is said to be a bug, according to Mod Timbo.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be Master then.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense then. Okay. So, we beat the requirements to death. Essentially, it's a puzzle quest. A huge amount of puzzles. Is that this extends from the whole pastime of people making fire figures at the Grand Exchange with whatever they want. So, I mean, you see people making the F word or Nazi symbols or other bad things or sometimes a good thing, a heart. So this takes that idea and lets you do it for this quest in, of course, a limited time. So there's a series of rooms we have to go through, 12 rooms total. Some are agility, or one of them is agility related. The majority of them, you just have to make symbols on the ground. That's essentially what this quest is.
Yes, you get a gasoline tank too. That's basically what that thing is. Anyway, it looks just like a gasoline tank.
It's too bad we couldn't use that outside the quest to start fires, you know?
Yeah, but since you can't walk over, I can see people put them in front of bank doors or something just to be jerks. But I actually think that if they actually could get it out, or I bet somebody is trying to figure out a way to get it out, it would cause a lot of havoc. Can't walk over it. But I thought the quest was okay. It's relatively easy. It's just more of the annoying side. But yes. Good to know is that the quest is safe, so I've died a couple of times while doing it because I can't click fast enough to get away from the walls of lava. the RuneScape dance when you're lighting something, suddenly you like run a mile away.
Yeah,
and so I'm trying to get away from the fire, but I'm already lighting a fire. So then suddenly I run, instead of running into the gap, I run straight in. I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That was my biggest complaint about this quest. I'm going to just preface this with saying that the way you move around on RuneScape is where you click on the floor grid, and that's been the way we've done it since RS Classic, which is okay. That's the way you move around. And then comes this quest where you have to either click your gas can to start a fire in front of you or right-click it to start a fire on your current square. Now, that's all fine and dandy, but there's this little thing that says that a user interface element should not be used to perform the same task. And if you get where I'm going with this, it's that the floor should not be used to move around as well as determine where you should start your fires. So, essentially, you have to move around and click to do this when really it shouldn't be combining these two together, and you get this little fire-making dance that Trekkie was talking about. It's just really, really bad usability because, you know, it doesn't need to be like that. It's not, there's no reason why it has to be like that. It's just something that's persisted since RS Classic, and sadly this quest has decided that the floor, moving around on the floor should also be how you decide where you start your fires, and it shouldn't, it just doesn't make sense to have it like that. You don't use the same user interface element for two things. What would have been better would have been to create a walkable surface that had a receiver option so that when you click on your gas can, it would have this option to use with floor tile, in a sense, allow you to choose exactly where you're going to start these fires. And in doing that, they would have, I think, just removed half of this annoying aspect of the quest, and it wouldn't have taken down any of the hard part of the quest, because the fires still go out after a set amount of time. You should be able to move where you want to move and start that fire without any questions asked. That's the way it should work, but sadly it doesn't, so that is one thing that could have been improved on here.
Yes, and also keep in mind you can also get traps in between the fires because of how fire making works. You light a fire and you move one space to the west. And yeah, that happened to me a couple of times, which got really annoying. That got trapped in the middle of everything. Got started all over.
And it comes, it's the whole legacy aspect of fire making. It just doesn't make sense. So that could have been improved on. But anyways, once you move through all the rooms, you rebuild this person are called Char, who has links back to Zaros. So it's kind of interesting in that it ties into that, and that's pretty much the quest.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to mention before we move on to rewards?
When during the last floor, when you're doing the fire, about to fight the boss, it's also a good idea to go to the hot springs and get unlimited running energy. That would actually help instead of getting our energy potions.
That helped. You know, me. I didn't run out of energy at all, and I, with my 99 agility and my agile outfit.
I don't have agile outfit. I just have my ghostly robe.
Okay.
And get darts. They help.
Yeah, they did really help, because even though, let's say you're using iron darts or something, the damage you do is proportional to the amount of fires you have lit. So the more fires you have lit, that's the amount of damage you do. So even though they're just a very bad weapon, just the only thing that matters is that they're fast, fast, fast.
Yeah, so you can use bronze darts if you have them. Just throw it.
Yeah. Another thing people I heard were doing were using dragon claws, get close up, and then use the quick 4-hit special on the claw. So let's say you have 9 fires lit, 900 damage times 4, 3600.
Wow.
Very quick like that.
I wish I knew that. I would have used it.
Yeah, and then bring some recover special potions in, you know, and then rebuild your special bar, and off you go again. But anyways, yeah,
the other one I heard was use Soul Split, but almost everybody.
I did that as well. It helped on the healing, but you know, Soul Split runs out by the time you're already finished doing the quest, doing the boss. So,
okay.
Rewards. Skill-based rewards first. 80,000 fire-making experience.
That's nice.
Not bad.
76,000 constitution experience.
76.
And 30,000 okay. agility experience.
That's not too bad. Especially if it's a long and a master quest.
Yeah, it didn't take very long. You could probably do it in under an hour. But I took about an hour 45 because I was it felt really clumsy, probably because it was really late when I was doing it.
And also keep in mind it's the annoyance factor that drives you nuts, so you have to take a break. Otherwise laptops will go flying to the wall. Mine almost did. I almost did, and I was like, I gotta stop before I completely destroy it.
And you do get 2 quest points from this.
And you get access to a new mini game and a couple of pets in the chart book.
Yes, so you have access to the book at less than level 91, Fire Making.
When you wield the book, what happens is that you can right-click on it and activate this little special ability. It lasts about a minute or so, and basically the idea is that you
are encased in an orb of fire, any log that you run over ends up being lit and turned to ash. I actually tried it in Lost City, and just grabbed some maple logs, dropped them on the floor, and automatically turned to ash. But it's kind of sporadic on when it happens, and it's not a really effective way of doing fire making training anyway. So just do it for fun, not.
Yeah, especially if it only lasts for a minute. So
it lasts about a minute, so you're not going to get a lot of experience from it anyway. It might be useful if you're training fire making and you forget to light one log. Maybe it'll do it for you.
Yeah, that's true. but as for the pets, this is something you do need 91 fire making for, which they did leave in, so it's good. So these are pets that are hovering around in the training area after the quest. You can just pick one up, bring it to your house. You can bring all four of them to your house one at a time and put them in the menagerie, and there you go.
They're like Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what they looked like, didn't they?
They look like the Magneton and a couple of new Pokemon from, what is it, Ruby series or what? I don't even remember what they are. But they look exactly like Pokemon, you know? They look almost just like it, which is... All you need now is a yellow mouse.
So, the training method is essentially what you did during the quest. You have 10 minutes to light a set of patterns. And these patterns are predefined in the book you get at the end of the quest. And you get a certain amount of XP for doing each one. And it's something that can be done once a week. And once again, it's not going to be a full-on training method. If you have level 91 fire making and you don't like fire making the conventional way, this will be a good way to change things up and get some XP in there, because it's about, I think 5,000 XP per pattern that you do. So there's five of them. So
yeah. So in theory, if you do all of them fast enough, you get according to Wiki, you get about 80,000 XP in about 10-12 minutes. So it ain't too bad.
How about 80,000 XP?
Suppose you can keep making, just change the keep making pattern the same patterns over and over again. I think.
Oh, okay.
I haven't tried it, so you know more than I do in that part, but that's what I was reading.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of how the XP worked in there, but if you can do that, then that makes sense. So, you know, at 91, that's a good way to train fire making, but once again, once a week only. So it's a nice little boost.
And also, you can also do fire training in circus now.
Yes, and you get a fire maker's costume from the circus, so I'll finally have an excuse to go back to the circus now, since I already have my ringmaster. Might as well get the fire making suit.
Oh, you got to aim for those lower things too, though. Lower tiers.
No, they're ugly.
Yeah, but you didn't get them yet. So there.
But they're ugly, so I don't want them.
Okay.
All right, so that's the quest. First quest of 2012. Better
sounds
than
like it
some
might be
quests,
worth it.
But you know, I still miss the days when quests were done in public and weren't instanced, because these instanced quests just aren't as fun, because it feels like you're going off on a little adventure of your own and you got no one to go with. So what's the point in that? And, like, you know,
almost every quest in the past year has been instanced.
I know, which is a little bit annoying to me.
I would really like to, you know, like, unless you're fighting the boss, then that makes sense, but I would really like to be able to go with you and just do a quest and just like, dude, I'm stuck, what the hell do I do? And, dude, make this thing here! Dude, run!
Dude!
Okay. So, that's it for that. On to some tweaks and fixes for this week. Leaving the Flash Powder Factory game more than 2 minutes early will now incur a penalty of up to 50%.
That's actually bad. Very, very bad. Basically, when I was doing the Flash Powder Factory, you only want to go up to 500 points, because if you go any higher than 500 points, you actually lose out on points. So up to 500, you get maximum amount of points determined by their formula. And then anything above 500, the formula changes and it's a lot less. So what people have done is that they would do it for, I think, 5 minutes, get around 485, 90 points, quit, and then come back. Now, since like you can no longer have last the whole way, it actually eats up a lot of points and time. You can no longer just do 5 minutes of stealing stuff from other people and get out really quick. So this actually hurts many people, in my opinion.
Okay. Also, you will no longer running out of catalyst power will no longer end the game. Just prevent the player from making more flash powder.
Mm-hmm. That one, I never ran out of powder, actually. I never did. So, and I went through the entire, like, couple times throughout the whole time limit, and I never ran out. Because you almost always have access to the center when you're in the center. Sometimes you're stuck there anyway for a while, so you just grab it anyway.
Okay.
Let's see. Finally, being trapped in a corridor for too long will no longer end the game. Just teleport the player to a random corner of their arena. That's actually pretty decent. I actually got teleported into the game a couple times because of it. Tried to chase someone down to take their loot, but just couldn't make it. So that one's okay, but I think the nerf to it actually makes it worse.
All right. Just a few things from the release notes now. First up, the font has been bolded again for the right-click context menu and the mouse-over fonts. Yay, nay.
It's huge.
It's very
yeah,
awesome.
You know, it's JAX doesn't seem to get typography. Their fonts never look that great, and you know, I think this is the wrong way to go with this past interface update. What they should have done was made a completely new font that was actually looked modern and used subpixel rendering. Basically anti-aliasing for it. So, like, the font looks like it's from an old-style game, and we're in the year 2012, and every operating system has anti-aliased fonts, so why can't RuneScape do that for their text like that?
Java maybe just not support it, or...?
Oh, Java supports it.
Because the new boss is a very angry person?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, we'll get to that very, very soon. You'll understand that quick.
And the money pouch icon in the bank has been moved to the far right from the far left. Not that that's any better for how it looks, but
actually, okay. I like it. I like it better on the far right because it was stuck in the middle, and that actually got
well,
annoying.
Well, yeah, I agree, but you know, you can't just tack these buttons onto an existing interface. It looked fine how it was because the items were all aligned properly. But now with this, they need to completely redo that bottom part of the bank window. So, I mean, yes, it's good to have that button, but let's make it look good while we're doing it. I thought we're supposed to be seeing interface improvements.
That will happen when RuneScape goes onto consoles.
I don't think so. Consoles make interfaces simpler.
Right, and we talked about the circus already, didn't we?
Yep,
we did.
Yeah, okay. New circus act, so, that's about it. Free fire.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to some news about RuneScape not pertaining to in-game updates. First up, apparently, RuneScape was selected as the best browser game and game of the year on Massively.com. And for anybody who isn't familiar with the online gaming space, Massively.com is a pretty big gaming website. So congratulations to Jagex for being selected here.
Indeed. I don't know what other big browser-based games there are, so it's not a...
Well, in this day and age, we're seeing more HTML5 games, so browser game is going to become a different meaning than it has been in the past, but...
I guess,
you know,
I should change that. I'm thinking browser-based MMO rather than browser-based game, because as soon as you say that, then you're thinking Flash or whatever in Facebook with basically anything from Zynga.
God.
Yeah, they have a cult following, though, so.
Yeah, that's so you know, best browser-based game. That's a pretty, I think, a pretty easy one to get, because if you compare every other browser-based game, they probably have what, 10, 15 minutes max playtime, unless it's something really repetitive like Scrabble or Angry Birds on Facebook. So, but definitely a game of the year. That's a good one to get. So, good on you, Jagex, for that. 2012 All right. should prove to be an interesting year.
Let's hope they improve on it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they will. And this is another thing. Just to note, we did have a question about this beforehand, but I did put this in the notes for discussion during the RS updates section when I was building the show earlier in the week over time. So I forget who asked the question, but your question would have been answered if this was not in the RS updates section. But basically, a U.S. company now owns 55% of Jagex.
So they are now, which means now they are also the major shareholder and basically makes Jagex an American company. Almost.
Yeah.
It's it would be delegated by Americans, but their headquarters, I assume, is probably still in Great Britain.
Yeah, they're going to still,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a question of whether or not how you split it. Like, it's owned by a U.S. parent, but it's run in the U.K., so I don't know if that makes it a U.S. company. It makes it a U.S.-owned company.
It's a U.S.-owned company, but I wouldn't say it's a U.S. company. I mean, they could say, yeah, we're going to cut costs, we're going to bring you over to the United States, which I don't think anyone has said in a very long time, but I guess you could say that, and then yes, it would be an American company.
But, and doesn't everything make sense now, hearing this over the past 8 months or so? I mean, first things first, the loyalty program, refer a friend, members referral program, what else? Everything, all the members' benefits to try and get people to subscribe, RuneFest potential in the U.S. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it doesn't. We don't know about that, but... definitely brings up some more questions about this. But yeah, we knew last year that Andrew and
Paul?
Andrew and no, I think Paul is still there.
I'm still
Andrew's
here.
Out. So definitely interesting to hear that he's completely gone now. Well, we knew that, but now we know who it's owned by.
Oh, and just to give you a little heads up in the article, reports that the controlling interest was made possible by Jagex co-founder Andrew Gower selling of his ownership claims to the firm for $115.65 million. As a part of the deal, Jagex paid $3.85 million in expenses, and the studio will remain in Cambridge while his controlling firm is in New York City.
Huh.
Well, there we go. A RuneFest in New York just makes a whole lot more sense. You got the controlling company or the controlling agency in the U.S., so they can then afford to send somebody over to New York to set up RuneFest.
Right, and now they get to fly business class to the U.S., which is always good.
Nah, it's going to be economy.
So I bet Andrew did this because he needed money for his new venture. I forget what it's called, but essentially it's a research and development firm that works on game engine type technology using what he learned at RuneScape. So it makes sense why he'd sell that. You know, that's potentially what he did, but of course we don't know.
Actually,
all this would have came out a lot sooner if Jagex was a publicly held company and we could get this information however we wanted, right?
That's up to you. But
I guess it would yeah, maybe, I suppose.
But I also just remember this, I think early last year, or let's see, no, after last summer, Jagex was saying they're trying to make it a Transformer MMO. This actually makes it interesting to see how it plays out with the new shareholder.
Right.
And that was the whole thing. Stellar Dawn thing, which who knows where that is.
And interestingly enough, we haven't heard anything of Stellar Dawn or Transformers, so I'm wondering did they scrap it or what?
I don't know. I talked to one of our members, Adiv, back in December, I think, and he won. He was one of the people who won the Stellar Dawn story contest and won early access to the beta. And he hasn't heard anything since, 2009. So
either they're keeping it under wraps or they canceled it but not saying anything because they don't want to screw it.
Yeah.
So. All right. Shane, we're still waiting for a Pokemon MMO.
Yeah, I think that would be very successful at this day and age.
Didn't they come out with that? It got shut down though. It wasn't
official.
Authorized.
Wasn't official.
Yeah, it wasn't official.
Yeah, but if Nintendo actually got off their lazy butts and made it, I bet you the world would end.
It would sell like friggin' hotcakes.
One more thing before we move on.
Okay,
from this. Do you think this will make Jagex able to produce better content, having more money in the coffers, or what do you guys think from this?
It's not more money in the coffers so much as...
Well, it's an investment company, right? So that they're going to inject money into the company when they need to.
Yeah, but this means that the lead is gone. Andrew Gower is gone. Or not gone, but he is probably... Or is he gone now?
He's probably still an advisor, I'd imagine. Because he was at RuneFest and everything, so he's still got to have close ties to the company.
Really? He was at RuneFest? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I don't know. I just assume it's... I mean, if he sold off his shares, it's like kind of the end of an era almost. Now it's owned under someone totally different. I don't know how much he owned before, but if it was enough to keep it UK-based and all, I don't know. It'll probably change a bit, but I can't imagine they change all that much. As long as they don't put an in-game purchase thing, although I bet you that'll be in the next couple of years.
Well, in-game, that's the loyalty program.
I know, but like, you know, $50 for something, or not $50, but something like that. I kind of wouldn't doubt RuneScape going there at some point.
Yum, yum. All right. So that's it for RS updates. We're going to move on to the questions right now. We got 3 audio questions this week. First one is from a fellow named Aiden.
Hey guys, Aiden here. I was wondering, what do y'all think about the new iPhone 4S and what are y'all expecting from the new models coming out such as the iPhone 5? Thanks and have a good day.
Yep.
All right, Shane, you own it, not me.
No, he doesn't. He only has.
I don't have
four.
A 4S. I just have a 4.
And I've got the iPod Touch 4.
My dad has the 4S.
I had Siri, but...
He
and what does he think of it?
Well, he's an iPhone fanboy. He just drives me nuts over. I can't figure out how to get the ringtones to work. And so, so toss it in the garbage. God. you know me. I was never a big fan of the iPhone anyway. I preferred to have a keyboard, but I had no choice.
Right. Yeah, so the 4S was essentially the same as the 4, except it had a minor spec bump with it. And they really highlighted their Siri feature, which the jury's still out on that, if that's a help or a hindrance.
It's one of those funny things that you play with your iPhone. I asked it, I think you should go to hell, and said, what did I do to deserve that? I was like,
and you just did a very good impersonation there. You used Siri's inflection.
Okay.
So, and the camera is, of course, better too. I think that if you have I think what I said when it came out is if you have a 4, you can probably hold off on the 4S. If you have a 3GS or a 3G and it's time for an upgrade, you might as well get the 4. Because we don't know what the 5 will hold when that comes out next year, but it'll probably be a different form factor.
Well, I think the thing is also it's still 3G, so it's not 4G compatibility yet. So I would actually wait for the 5.
But the thing is that there's only one network in the U.S. that has full true 4G, and that's Sprint.
Uh huh.
None of them have.
And
true
everything
4G,
else
but...
is. Isn't real 4G. They try to say it's 4G, but it's not really. I mean, and I don't know.
The only people with actual 4G are over in Europe because they actually give a dang about the real requirements of 4G. You know, like 100 meg down or You get like 50 meg down and 50 meg up, you know, like Fios is over here. We have, you know, pseudo 4G, which is like 3G plus.
Yeah, but exactly.
It's marketing and term there, 4G. Sometimes it's not even different than 3G.
And there's an important distinction to be made here. The iPhone 4 does not mean you have a 4G phone. The iPod Touch, fourth generation, does not mean your iPod Touch is capable of 4G. 4 is just the fourth generation. Does it not mean 4G?
Correct. Currently, so, yes, that's correct. Yeah, the most they can do... we don't know what will be changed, but we can expect in either the next version or the version after that to have 4G, you know, whatever you want to call it, capability. So an increased bandwidth, probably bumping up the size. I think did they go over, are they up to 120 net yet or no for phones? I bet you they probably don't even, well, they might for internal storage. Is it 64 highest now, or is it 120?
Yeah, 64 is the highest as the option, but everybody so just gets the 16.
Yeah, because you don't... Well, I wouldn't get the 16, but... Well, I don't know, whatever. At any rate, I can't imagine them improving the screen all that much. They could use a new Gorilla Glass, which is thinner, but that just changes it a little bit. Processor would probably be introduced on the iPad 3 before it gets introduced on the phone. So whenever that gets announced, you might see a difference there. But it's not
overall,
too bad, right?
I mean, there's no reason to hold out on buying an iPhone. And I'd even say that some of the Android phones are more interesting right now than the iPhone 4S, because the iPhone 4S was just a spec boost. Specifically, I'm thinking the Google Nexus and Samsung Galaxy S2 are interesting phones to me, at least.
Yes, but they are actually very pricey.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, you get them on a contract, it's probably a bit cheaper than the iPhone, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, I can hear someone typing. It's time for the next question now.
Okie doke.
Oh, God.
This is RSBNB Update Questions, recorded January 2012.
Episode 9, Mac to the Future.
Haha, it worked. I managed to go back in time and stop myself from deleting the opener.
Oh, the DeLorean's still ice cold. Anyway, I hope you've backed it up on a VHS or a cassette or something.
Yeah, don't you worry, Sorensen. I've got it covered. We're going to hear this opener for many years to come. Anyway, on to my first question. It's for both of you. What did you get for Christmas? Because Sorensen's been a bad boy, and all he got was coal. My guess is something simple. Maybe an accessory for your Mac. Maybe just a cleaning cloth to clean up all that dust and all those sticky spots that appear from day-to-day use. Well, whatever it was, make sure you say thanks to your mum. Okay, and here's the next question.
Hosts of RSBNB, just Sorensen here, just wondering what you're looking forward to in 2012. Personally, I'm looking forward to Floor 61. Damonheim, what's that mysterious noise? Who knows?
Ah! Yeah, funny enough, I'm actually looking forward to that one myself, because, you know, once they finish that off, they can finally work on real skills.
Oh, sorry, Mr. No Chaotix, I'm too cool.
You know what? I'll show you who's cool.
Let's go.
Did they just die?
I think their DeLorean may have took off again.
But
what's the DeLorean? Is that's the time travel car, right?
Yes.
Back to the Future all the various. Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. So what do we all get for Christmas? Me, just a few little things. First thing. I think that'd probably be most interesting to people was a little Angry Bird thing which I didn't ask for. It was just in my stocking.
I bet you that would scare a little kid.
I don't know, Trekkie, because the age rating on the label says it's for
3 and up.
What does it say?
Probably 3 and up.
Shane doesn't need a little Angry Bird to scare little kids.
The tag said age 1 to 3, so I don't know about that. Whoop. There he goes again. It's just Redbird, so it won't blow up or anything. But anyways, aside from that, just Modern Warfare 3 and a few books.
What platform?
PC.
Okay. Steam. Someone got it for you over Steam, didn't they?
No.
Oh, okay.
And that's the other just game. That and a few other little trinkets here and there.
Okay.
I got my new monitor, so I'm up to 1080p finally.
Spoiled brat.
Well, better. I mean, man, I was using my laptop, which is 1920 by 1200, and going back down to an old CRT at 1600 by 1200 is not fun. So I'm up to that. I got some money and got various random stuffs, but the money got me my Mac Mini, which I'm custom Mac. Money so too. That's what I'm using to actually do this right now. So, hooray! Good experience and all. And save me a boatload. So, very nice. How about you, Trekkie?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. As Russell Peters would say, nothing.
Russell Peters.
Yes.
Funny guy.
Nothing. Not joking about that either. All right, move on to the second question. What was it again?
What are we hoping for in RS? I hope they fix the interfaces. Please, Jagex, fix the interfaces this year.
I figured out how to fix it. Go back to the fixed screen mode, and it looks like it used to, and it works! It works well!
No, that needs to be killed off, the fixed screen mode.
I'm on that right now, where it looks beautiful. Doesn't look like that junk they made it look like. Ugh. It's a terrible idea.
Oh, I'm glad you're with us on that we don't like the silvery, chromey type of interface there. That's good.
No, it looks like XP, just like, toddler type stuff. Just stupid. And it's not good.
Well, we agreed the website was good, but interface was not.
No, the website's terrible.
Another thing I'm hoping for is that we see an increase in longevity of updates. Because, the way it works right now, an update comes out, it's busy for maybe the first 2 weeks, and then after that, everybody forgets about it. So it would be nice to see something that's that has longevity, like Castle Wars or Slayer, maybe, like, did. So something like that would be nice to see.
So they need to come up with a multiplayer game within a multiplayer game to make it. I mean, otherwise you don't really know people are doing it so much. So it has to be something that many people can do at the same time, and then they like doing it. Ideally, either for experience or for prizes or something. So probably another game of some sort. When was the last minigame that came out?
Today, this week.
Oh yeah. Duh.
Duh. Or no, is that a distraction? I don't know. They had this whole thing last year about whether or not it's a mini game, a distraction, a diversion, or an activity.
Fire making thing you're talking about?
Yeah.
Isn't that single player though?
Yeah, it is.
No? So I like multiplayer, you need like a lot of multiplayer doohickey stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's been a while since something like that.
I don't know. Trekkie, what would you like to see?
I would like to finish Biohazard before I die. That's going to be my motto for this whole year. Finish up Biohazard.
That's on my list, too.
I mean, the world's supposed to end in about 11 months or so. Would like to finish it before I die.
Okay.
I might actually become a member again if that happens.
Ooh. Yeah, so there's what we want, three ideas on that, so thank you, R.R. Madden and Sorensen, for that, and I hope there's no bruises after what sounded like a little fight there.
And don't crash the car. Those things are expensive.
Yes, you need a lot of gigawatts in order to get away. Wait, I said it wrong, didn't I?
Nope, said it correctly.
Okay. I haven't watched that in...
All right.
I should never watched it, actually.
It's not gigawatts. It's gigawatts.
Next question is from a new member. Send us your name next time, please, so we don't have to call you a new member.
That's what he said he did, right?
Hey, this is a new member, and I'm not haven't quite yet joined, but I was calling in because I was listening to some of your older podcasts. I was wondering what happened to Brad Woodward. He was hilarious, and it would be awesome if you guys could track him down after his contract gets out of the Air Force. That would be awesome. I doubt you can, but I hope this leads you guys into a rant about Brad.
All right, so Brad Woodward. Let's set the record straight here in 2012 once and for all. So, first things first, he's not in the Air Force. He's working and pursuing an education, so that's what he's up to currently. And as for about tracking him down and getting him on the show, that is going to be a maybe. I'm not sure if it'll happen this year, yes or no. But I'm not going to lead this into a rant about Brad Woodward because I know that's what you want. And we're not about that on here. We're not about ranting about what was in the past and what might have been annoying or whatnot. So I just want to say one thing about this. You say the show was hilarious and funny and stuff back then. But the truth of the matter is that came at my expense and at the expense of the quality of the show, along with the image of the show as well in relation to the methods he used in order to do that. And, you know, some people like that. And, you know, that you're the type of person, I guess, who would like that and would like to see more of that. But let's just say that I've seen in the past year, after we changed the way that works with Woodward, and I had three people actually come up to me and tell me that they listened to the show that last summer that he was on when he came back for an episode, and they didn't like that. So, you know, and they said that they wouldn't be listening to the show if every show was like that. So we're quite happy with the image we have here right now, and we're going to be keeping it that way. So the old version that you liked really wasn't that great. We like the way the new RSBNB update is a lot better, and other people do too. And, you know, we save subscribers because of that, at least three people in our community. I'm sure there's more. It's two. So anyways, now that that's addressed, let episode 343 be the definition for this question.
Okay, then.
And tell us your name, please, next time, so we don't have to call you a new member.
Or maybe it was an old member that said he was a new member.
Memberception. Ooh.
He just blew my mind.
First text question, please, Trekkie.
All right, this is from HaloDude108. I recently got in my first 99 strength. However, I did not feel as accomplished as I had imagined I might. What was your first 99? How did you feel about it? Thank you, Halo. So, plus Paul, do you have a 99?
Yeah.
I can't, dude, I haven't seen you on in years, man, so I don't know.
I used to be a hell of a lot more powerful than you, but that was back in the day. Yeah, my first 99 was attack. I remember getting that. That was off of when my friend still played, so I had him over and I punched him in the face and got 99 attack. And I had like 8 experience left to go. I had everyone over to my house, my POH, and I punched him in the face and I got 99 attack. Then we all went to get my cape and then did that for the other melee related skills. And good stuff.
Okay.
What was the other part of the question?
How do you feel about
it? How did you feel after it?
I was ecstatic, because that was a huge accomplishment back in the day. And then when you get the second one, and you get the trimmed cape, that was also fantastic. And then after a while, some of the skills are just like... I mean, they're repetitive anyway, but it just really kind of drags on.
So you didn't get 99 cooking first?
Oh, I guess that would have been first, right?
I don't know.
That's right. 99 cooking probably was first.
See?
Huh.
I know these guys like the back of my own hand. I know their own history and stuff, so I can...
Yeah, because we tell you everything.
I guess it was cooking. Or was it attack? It probably was cooking, though. Yeah, I guess it was cooking. Wow, that was a while ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. But that was also good, because then I had the cape, which was amazing back in the day, because back in the day, everything was amazing. Yep. So what about you, Shane?
Well, I want Trekkie to go first.
You already
what
know
about
what
you, Trekkie?
Cooking lots and lots of monkfish. When monkfish first came out, way back when.
Yep.
I spent my entire summer while... I can't remember what I was doing that summer besides doing this. Getting 99 fishing with 99 cooking. And I got 99 cooking and 99 fishing right after. Monkfish really helped. Monkfish were so easy and awesome.
And how did you feel?
I was happy. I was like, I did it! Shane, you owe me a burger.
I think that's exactly what I said. I don't remember that part, but okay. As for me, my first 99 was farming in 2007. So we're coming up on 5 years, September 2007, 5 years on that. So that was the first 99. And, you know, it was an experience in itself because it was something I always wanted to do. It was something I had to fundraise for. And, you know, I think it was a good time to be doing it because the prices were still relatively low and everything was easy to procure. So it was a major, it was like, 99 farming, done. One of the biggest goals ever.
Yes,
what can I do next?
Get 99 fishing.
No, 99 Herblore was after that.
You should go for fishing.
No, I'm not getting 99 fishing because of said reason in previous question.
Seriously?
So, yes.
He's stubborn as a mule.
A mule is less stubborn than Shane. I remember when you got 99
minerals.
Actually, it's up on my channel, I think. Yep. Or no,
yeah, lots of people were there. Everybody dressed up as me.
I wasn't there, so I didn't remember. I was away over that weekend.
Early in the morning, I think.
Where was it?
I don't remember what it was. I remember a couple people sort of like saying bad stuff when you were trying to get your get the 99.
Oh, yeah, that was a whole different time. That was when we had our little troll epidemic and people who like to cause problems here and there. But anyways, that's beside the point. So there's our first 99s and how we felt. Thank you, Halo. Next question now is from FireRing401. Do you think the Protect IP Act or the Stop Online Piracy Act will pass through the U.S. congressional system? Also, how long do you think before the bill passes... Will the stupid people at the MPAA and RIAA and other groups realize their efforts are futile and everyone will circumvent their measures? Curious to know what your thoughts are? Mine are, as I have said in the past, this is not a police state yet. You have no idea what a police state is there, Firing 401. You have no idea what a police state is, and you can't be jailed for circumventing unconstitutional legislation passed by Congress who are potentially retarded. And quite honestly... The only people who are supposed to determine if something is unconstitutional are lawyers, and I don't think you're a lawyer. So,
well, the Supreme Court for constitutional.
Well, yeah, but
well,
still,
yeah,
they're lawyers.
Kind of.
I think it will pass through.
I don't think SOPA will, but I think Protect IP is probably going to slip through. There's so much backlash on SOPA right now, but no one's really talking about Protect IP, even though they kind of do like the same thing. So,
and you know what the funniest part about this is? It's Obama who has to ink the bill to sign it. So I have this imagination in my head that all the people who are against this were initially for Obama in 2008 when he was running as a candidate because they didn't like to use the word in this question, what Bush was doing and potentially turning the U.S. into a police state. See Patriot Act, for example. So doesn't this kind of bring something up that, you know, it's not the stripes that you run as, it's just something that comes with the territory, and maybe the whole ideas of whether or not it's a police state are kind of skewed, because as I said, it's not a police state. If you want to see a police state, go live in North Korea.
Yeah. There's the there's something else that got passed that didn't have to do with copyright, as far as I'm aware.
NDAA.
Yeah. That you have to worry more about, but I just still don't know enough about that to make an informed decision.
But yeah, I didn't hear much about it either. But, you know, this is just the way things work. I mean, normal people really don't have much say in this. You vote who you get in, and you have to trust the establishment. You have to trust the government system. And if you can't trust the government system, you're going to end up with all these kinds of groups like Occupy and Greenpeace and whatnot running around trying to create these quasi-anti-government groups. And when really those groups have no idea how the system works. So it's just something you have to trust. And don't you think because one president does something, the next president does something similar, that even though they're both, of course, good people, that this kind of thing is bound to happen? Like, it's this thing that I guess what you could say fringe parties and opposition parties like to see is that they think that implementing their ideas will be easy to do. And, you know, as a result, people accept this as well, that making change will be easy to do, when really governments everywhere work the same way. Change is not easy to do. But anyways, I don't think, once these are passed, I don't think they'll turn out to be much of an issue. I think they'll be in the same vein as the DMCA. I mean, minor annoyances for some people, but really, we're not going to notice it because, as we said, these are, of course, mainly targeted at content providers. And, you know, people, the lawmakers have said, give us a better way to do this and we'll listen to it. They haven't heard a better way. All they're hearing is that what these people are trying to stop isn't a problem, when clearly it is. So
how is it a problem?
It's an issue with both sides. It is. We're not going to discuss that here, but we're just going to discuss what the thoughts are on these if they get passed. But I don't think that we'll be seeing the formation of a police state. As I said, if you want to see that, go live in North Korea. I'm done with this one. So if you guys want to say what you think about how it's going to, what effect it's going to have, go for it.
Well, a lot of people are going to not be able to watch videos anymore without getting Netflix. And Netflix is going to be really happy about this.
And what's wrong
Yay,
with that?
Yay, junk content on Netflix.
Hooray.
I never said there's
anything
wrong
with it. Apple TV as well.
Ugh, Apple TV, yuck.
Or something similar to stream. The point is that there are ways to get legal pieces of content. Nothing. The point is that things need to be done legally these days. So,
but it's so much more easier and faster to do it unlegally.
No, actually, it's not. Not with the setup I have here. But anyways, Paul, what do you think?
You don't want to get me started.
Well, I suggest you go out in your Vermont primary, whenever that is, and vote for Ron Paul then.
I don't know about that either. But
Ron Paul isn't even a Republican.
He's fringe Republican. He's doing fairly well, which is odd, but not bad. It's interesting. So when the fringe type candidates can get a large following like that, they can often impact change. Sometimes there's no way he's going to get elected as president. Just like there's no way that the Republican Party is going to elect him as the Republican candidate, but he may bring about some change, but we'll see.
You know, if Romney really wanted to do something crazy, he'd appoint Ron Paul as his vice president.
Oh God, no!
That would be that intriguing.
First thing,
because we all know Romney's going to win the nomination.
Never know, man.
It's all oddly, right. Yeah. We don't know. When are they going to announce that? By the way, you know.
So are we done with this one, or do you have anything you want to say? August.
It can't be in August.
The nominee is picked. Yeah,
we're going to vote this year for president, so it has to be earlier than that.
For what?
Who's going to be on the ticket?
The vice. Yeah, well, the nominee has to be picked first.
Yeah, but that's not going to be in August. We vote in November.
I mean, that's when the VP will be announced.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, who's the... Who are there, when does the Republican have to...
Well,
do they have to announce?
Ideally, sooner the better. But yeah, you know, the way Romney's going, I think if he picks up South Carolina after Florida, it'll be pretty much done.
Oh, and, yeah. Okay.
That'll be a joyous day if he wins.
Ron Paul?
No, Romney.
Yeah.
Anyways, let us move on, since Paul doesn't ruffle any feathers here. All right, yeah. Next one's from Systemless. Paul, you want to read it?
Sure, I can read these two sentences. Question from Systemless. Hey guys, Systemless here. I was wondering, why did they take out the Falador party room? And also, what is your favorite magic book to use? Thanks and have a good day. Once again, that's from Systemless. Yeah, they took out the Falador party room a while ago, didn't they?
No, they didn't. It's still there.
I just went there before I came on the show. Shane asked me to go check it out, and there's Party Pete. There's a party room right next to the garden.
And it's still on the map. I looked at that earlier, so I'm not entirely sure what this is about, unless he's referring to way back when free trade was removed the first time, and it was in Sears Village.
But it's a Falador party room, so it's not talking about Sears Village.
Huh. Well, so, in that case, it's still there.
Still there.
So check it out.
Yep. I just saw it. So, and
There's two then, right? It's Falador and then Sears, or did they get rid of the Sears one?
Sears
they got
moved
rid of
to
the Sears one.
What?
Sears Village party room got relocated to Falador.
Oh, so they got. Oh, right, because that's when they did that courthouse thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. That's
I still
where it
never
is now.
Did any of that. But alrighty. Interesting. So, still there. And what is your favorite magic book to use?
I just stay on standard.
Mm-hmm. Standard for me as well, because I need to enchant all my glories.
Oh,
that's always so tedious.
Yeah, I'm also on standard. The other ones, unless there's more, there's probably more issues since I quit, but...
They're just lunar and ancient still.
Oh, in that case, never mind. Yeah, lunar's good for a couple things, and ancient is nice if you're combat a lot, but the practicality and overall usefulness of the stock one is outweighing the other ones, in my opinion.
I mean, I could use Lunar since most of what I do isn't combat-related, but I would do have to go do the Livid Farm to get the Trollheim teleport spell, which is something I really don't want to do. So,
Livid Farm is not worth it. It's way too expensive.
See, that's one of those updates I was talking about last year that doesn't have staying power. I mean, people go through the Livid Farm, they get all the spells, and then what? They don't come back there. They don't use it as a training method for magic. And for some crazy reason, it was marketed as a training method for farming, which is just plain bad.
It's not a training method; it's a grind.
I know exactly. So that's why there's no staying power with these updates.
Well,
that's going back to the first question. That's one thing I want to see this year. So,
well, you know, it was created by an American company, so you get what you reap.
But the designers are UK companies. You can't say that. So. Anyways, last question, Trekkie.
This is from Mormumska. Hi, guys. Well, I'm wondering how far should RuneScape graphics... Oh, yeah, how far should RuneScape's red graphics should go? I'm finding it getting way too fancy in some places for my taste, and after all these updates, wink, wink. Also, should I start planting herbs before I do farming quests for those magic farming items? Thanks a lot.
I think RuneScape graphics should go as far as they can go, because if you take the graphics farther, you improve the perception of the game. Perception is a big thing, especially with RuneScape, because, you know, RuneScape has the stereotype of being RuneScape Classic in early RS2 days when you had these blocky objects on the screen that looked horrible. So I think as much as they can improve them, the better, and showcase that as what RuneScape is, in that it's a real MMO game that is competitive on the terms of graphics with other games. So that, I think they should just push as hard as they can with the graphics, because, you know, that is the biggest thing for RuneScape, aside from the actual content itself.
Yeah, they might as well just keep bringing what they've got. There's no need to let up now. It's kind of amazing to look back at old screenshots or videos of 2005, 2004 era type stuff. It's like, and then you look at stuff from today, and it's totally different. You see people that stopped playing back even in 2008 or so, and then they look at stuff that's out now, and it's like, wow, that's RuneScape? Really?
I wrote an article last October about the evolution of the interface in the game itself on Informer, so you can see that and see the actual progression that the graphics and interface have made. So I'll be updating that probably in March this year, maybe February, so definitely something to look forward to.
Yep.
Stop it.
Also, should I start planting herbs? You can plant herbs whenever you want. The magic secateurs, says they are from the farming quest there. The fairy quest part 2 is... It's a nice thing to have. It increases your yield by about 10%, but you're not going to die without them. But over time, it does help to have them, so feel free to start planting herbs whenever you want to start planting them.
Make sure they stay alive.
Yeah, especially if your level is quite low, you might want to start planting the really low-level herbs to lessen your burden either by killing stuff or buying stuff from the GE. That way, if you do it all yourself, you'll just gain two skill levels or gain two skills at the same time, and then ideally you'll probably save out on your coin purse as well.
Yeah, or if you really want to just become a full do-it-yourselfer, you can go all the way to 99 in both. Not 99 farming through herb farming, but 99 herbler through farming your own herbs, and just... use the money you get from that to buy, say, maples and pineapples, and off you go, and you got a self-sustainable farming method. So, that's it for questions, and remember, you can send us your questions. Text questions can only be submitted on the forums. I got an email this week with a text question, and sadly, I can't use that, because the email address is reserved for audio questions only. So you can email the audio questions to us, as these two people did here, or you can phone them in to us at the Google Voice number, which is...
something, 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 something.
No, it's 571-572-2632, which conveniently translates to 571-57-BNB.
Indeed. I wonder who set that up. Oh, true. Yep. Indeed. It's a good thing it gets used.
Oh, and you can also leave... you can also leave the audio questions on Skype.
Oh, you're still doing
just
that?
Add the username RSBNBUpdate, and we'll get the questions in the form of a Skype voicemail. Yep.
Alrighty. Good stuff.
Okay. So, that's it.
Tech news. Okay, CES was this week. CES is the show where people introduce things, and sometimes they don't make it to market, sometimes they do. So, Project Fiona from Razer.
Yeah, just like the last thing that Razer brought out at CES, the gaming laptop, the all just for gaming
Switchblade.
Laptop. Switchblade, yeah, was that last year or year before?
Last year.
It didn't come out.
Well... that's to be expected from Razer. But basically, Project Fiona is Razer's answer to gaming tablets. For an easy $1,000, you can have a tablet that can play almost any game on the market right now at high definition.
using the latest Intel third generation processor.
So I assume this runs Windows 8?
You know what? I have no idea. But
it will run Windows 8 is a bonus, it says. It will be instantly compatible with a legion of top-of-the-line games. So, yeah.
Okay, Windows so how is it going to do that then? When Windows 8 isn't out yet? Or is that when it's going to be out, when Windows 8 comes out?
In theory, they want to release this thing by the end of the year. Yeah, so, they
said, okay, so that fits with the timeline of Windows 8 then.
Well, they're talking about Ivy Bridge processors, which won't be out to the middle of the year anyway. So,
let me see something really quick. So basically right now, if you click on the link, it shows a little prototype of Project Fiona. And it's basically a tablet with two bars sticking out with two controllers. Both sides have analog sticks and a couple buttons. And it looks pretty decent, but for $1,000, you might as well just get the Switchblade.
That sounds very awkward to use.
The Switchblade did come out?
No, but if you're going to get this, you might as well get the other one anyway if you're going to be a hardcore gamer.
If you want a tablet, just get an iPad.
Well, the problem with this, that they want it as a gaming device, and it's also a PC, and they're talking. Then I wasn't really thinking about them. Like, battery life is suspect. We've heard reps estimate that it'll stay powered on for 2 or 3 hours. Dude, I mean that's a decent play session, but then it's dead. Like can't change the batteries, guaranteed. So you have to plug it in. Well, if you're gonna plug it in already, why don't you just get a console or a desktop for $900? That's a really nice desktop.
Oh yeah, my!
Or that's your console of choice.
That's not practical.
But
this won't come out. I'm saying this won't come out.
It's Razer.
And if it does, it'll be limited to a short run, and it'll fizzle out like the BlackBerry Playbook did. Or no, I mean the HP touchpad. There we go.
Playbook did too, so it's all right.
The problem with this one is just like if it does come out, it's a very niche market. It's only be maybe tops 5,000 people hope, you know, at most
and
would get it.
And also, let's remember that FPS gamers want to use a mouse and keyboard. StarCraft players want to use a mouse and keyboard. World of Warcraft players want to use a mouse and keyboard with all the fancy buttons. Solitaire players want to play solitaire while checking their email.
Yeah, the way they had this look set up, it's like a portable console. So you do console type games on this device, you're gonna do that, and you have to plug it in if you're gonna play more than 2 hours, which is probably the people that are gonna buy this are gonna play more than 2 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. You might as well just buy, you know, a.
And from the sounds of it, it sounds awkward, and I don't get how you're gonna pull that out and play with it, like in the middle of like a shopping lineup or something.
But you know, the thing is with me is that like if this does come out, they need to really find a way to connect it with the person's computer. Basically be able to play the game on your computer and then take it out when you're playing a car or something or outside at Starbucks, which is what almost everybody does anyway.
But you know what, this product might be a better product design for multimodal gaming. So essentially what you do is you run the game on your computer and then you use this tablet as an add-on controller type thing, or even just an add-on type of way to control the game, kind of like the Wii U is going to be.
I was going to say, kind of like Wii U.
It's basically like the PS3 and the PSP Vita, one of those two. So you know, if they can, you know, make it like how they did with Zelda on the DS, where you know one half of the screen is the actual game, the other half is inventory. That would be nice, having plugged this in with your computer, and suddenly, you know, all your inventory is at your fingertips, and you see everything on the screen, and you have two controllers to use.
And then you're looking at, instead of $900, dumbing it down to maybe $100. I mean, for a controller,
like
ish. It's not going to have. It's basically be. I mean, you're going to take a Kindle Fire and dumb that down, and or whatever is cheap.
I don't know. But anyways, I'm calling this won't be successful. It's another one of those CES inventions that like to look pretty. So,
But, you know, to be honest, the problem with the Razer is that they're trying to make everything very expensive for those, like, hardcore gamers. You don't need to make all those high stuff for hardcore gamers. Most of us are pretty happy with the $50 mouse and lap and a keyboard and the $30 keyboard. What they should really do is...
Yeah, you know, the thing is that the people who buy Razer typically are not pro gamers. Like, they're, like, as you said, a keyboard and a mouse is a truly personal thing. You don't need to spend that much on it.
There are people who do, and you know, usually those are sponsored by Razer anyway, so they're getting the free stuff. But what I think Razer should really do is start not dumbing things down, but like making something more affordable for the average person. You don't need to always have to be hardcore. You know, that the Project Fiona would be, you know, I would like to have it if they made it like what, maybe less than $200, and I can plug it into my USB and have a, like be able to, it's compatible with StarCraft too. You know, you never know what they
there you go.
What they can do.
There you go. Could use it as a distraction for Benny.
No, I would probably hit Benny in the head. Like, he has a touchpad. He has a touchpad anyway, so my uncle gave it to him. So and you know, play StarCraft 2 and like have like the mini map on that thing. And that'd be awesome. Like,
exactly.
Mini map, like,
multimodal gaming. That's what this thing is gonna be good for. It's gonna fail and then somebody has to do that. Brilliant idea. Thank you. I mean, thank you. I'm just thanking myself. Anyways. Next up, Ubuntu TV.
Well, there's already Google TV, and that's kind of like doing what Ubuntu TV is going to do, except that Google TV is already out, and it has a stronger backing than Ubuntu TV.
Yeah, but Ubuntu, also free. Google TV wasn't successful in its first stint. So,
yeah, but they're pushing hard. 2012 sounds like.
Ubuntu wants to do the same thing where they get in TVs that are shipping as well. So I don't know how well that's going to work, because have we ever seen a Linux distribution ship somewhere for like normal people use? I don't know.
Not branded as Linux, but I mean under stuff, I'm sure that's Linux.
I mean, it's a nice view and it's a nice video they have. But, you know, I don't see the mainstream TV manufacturers adopting this. I see them more heading towards the Google TV thing, as you said, Paul. I see this thing as becoming a more hobbyist thing, because undoubtedly you are going to be able to download it because it is open source.
Yeah, well, in that case, you'd already be thinking of something along the lines of Mythbuntu or...
Exactly.
Because that's already
just
designed
a way to make
for...
something like that easier. Yeah, so that's probably what this is going to turn out. But nonetheless, I think it's a good thing that Ubuntu has their foot in that, because Microsoft does and Apple does as well.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Although they are, depending on where you look, it's either Ubuntu or Linux Mint as the top Linux distributions. But Linux Mint is largely based on Ubuntu, so...
Same thing, really.
Not... The UI is fantastic.
Well, not
Ubuntu's
the UI, but...
Gnarly, Unity. Unity. I digress.
That's actually what Ubuntu TV is based on, a skinned version of Unity.
Yeah. So thanks.
Anyways, that's another CES announcement. Moving forward to the last piece of tech news. Microsoft Kinect for Windows is real. It's shipping February 1st. A special sensor.
Less than 1 month away. A special sensor. Oh, sensor.
Yeah.
I was thinking CENSOR. Yeah. And I was like, why?
Okay. Okay.
Sly, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I do. All never mind.
Yeah, essentially, the whole point of having a specific sensor for the PC is because the TV sensor is designed to be used from about 2 meters away, whereas, you know, your PC, you're typically sitting within arm's reach of it.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder what people are going to, you know, start dancing on the chair.
Well... You know, the thing is that they've already had a beta out for the developers to use, so we're going to be seeing, I think, integration in Windows 8 with Kinect, that's for sure, and definitely we're going to probably see, with the Windows App Store, games coming out that'll take advantage of Kinect, which will be interesting, and I'd imagine, I don't think we'll see UIs using it, but...
Hey, maybe it'll replace the mouse.
No.
It
not Kinect.
Mouse is for really precise stuff and Kinect. I mean, I can see
is some form of touch and Kinect to go, and maybe that might have some grounds. Mm. But the problem with using an alternate user interface device with our current computers is that the desktop metaphor of a computer with icons, folders, a file viewer, and stuff is designed specifically to use a mouse and keyboard to point and enter text. You would need a completely different user interface in order to be successful with something like Kinect, which Windows 8 Metro might be. Who knows? And that's specifically why touch works so well with the smartphones and whatnot, because those UIs are specifically designed for touch.
Oy. Well, I just don't see
You can't take a mouse UI and expect it to be able to be controlled with your hands.
I don't see a lot of fat PC players actually getting up and shaking their arms around to play.
Well, if they were doing that, they'd already have been doing that with the Kinect on the Xbox.
I guess it might be good only for those who want to do projects or for physical therapy.
Yeah, that's what we were saying in pre-show. I mean, the people who are most excited about this are the HCI researchers and the health researchers about finding new ways to interact with technology. So, but then again, they've been using Kinect since the first hack drivers came out way back when.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been some cool stuff.
So that's it for tech news.
Indeed.
All right, other things, the January Skill of the Month update. Skill of the Month for January is Slayer. See, Paul, you could have entered this one.
I already have 99, don't want to touch it again.
First place, Sorensen 57 with 2 million XP, roughly. Second place, One Stone Pwn, 1.3 million. Third place, Ranging God, 946k. Fourth place, Sir Cormac, 925k, fifth place, went from 765 there, a div with 741k gained. Everybody is still kind of gaining XP in the top five, it looks like. Maybe some down below. Come on, people, keep training. It's a good thing.
Yes.
Keep this race interesting past the first 2 weeks of the month.
Remember, you must rid RuneScape of evil monsters that plague our lands. Without your vigilant support in slaying these monsters, Lumbridge shall be attacked and be destroyed by an army of greater demons.
Until they spawn again, and yeah. There should be like an ultimate demon, like a greater demon, but like an awesome big one that's like the full screen, but like not that difficult to defeat.
You mean make an imp really, really big?
Pretty much. Yep. I would enjoy that.
All right.
Like, okay. Greater demon type stuff, but like a black demon, but I think they're black, right? Black ones?
They're, mm-hmm.
Yeah, like black demons.
Black demons, yeah.
Bigger and about the same difficulty level. That'd be entertaining. Anyways.
Alright, so achievements of the week. We got four of them this week. First up, 99 Constitution, Sexy Ketchup on January 10th. Congratulations.
Paul.
At the end. Oh, Sorensen 57, 99 Defense on January 8th, 2012.
A Div 99 Defense on January 6th.
And Bonsai 99 with 99 Constitution on the 6th as well. Congratulations to you all.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Ow.
I just hope you're listening to this, you guys out there. So if you hear your name here and you're in this list and you know somebody on this list isn't listening, tell your friends about this. Tell them about that they were mentioned in Achievements of the Week. Get them listening to the show. Get them to be a part of this community.
Yes. And get Shane a white party hat.
And you might get something.
Say get Shane a wife, and I was like, okay, we can work on that.
They're dropping. At least they were dropping.
Gotta get close to what, new bill?
Around that.
Man, they just skyrocketed. I was almost able to afford a party hat when I left. Then it's like, nope. On that one up. And then free trade came back that next week. So now we can't afford anything.
Well, white party hat is about 1.8 billion.
Yeah, no.
It's just under 2. And it's still going down a little.
It's gone down from a decent amount of 2,064,885,812 GP on December 15th. And I am seeing this through the Grand Exchange portfolios, which have been updated once again with a few extra little features in the graph department. So you'll want to have a look at those. And, you know, I'm still calling this a beta project because I'm making changes as we go along for these because they're not quite finished yet. We want to hear what exactly you might suggest to make them more useful for you, a more useful tool. So if you're at all interested in merchanting, flipping, that sort of thing, definitely check these out and see how they might help you and send some feedback in on that. You can do RSS. That. There's a topic on the forums, rsvmb.com/forums. Also, if you're not a flipper, you might as well check them out too, because with that, you can just use it to track items if that's what you want to do, or even use it for quick lookups of prices, because we got price history going back all the way until the Grand Exchange came out and we were able to get the data. I mean, we got exchange data on the white party hat going back to May 2008 when it was only 266 million.
I could afford several of those.
I should not have sold my red one. I would have been rich. I would have had diamonds on every single nail and toe, Rich.
You'd be a very happy Ferengi.
Nah, I'm not going there this week, Shane. All right.
It took a long time for anything Star Trek related to get mentioned. But yes. It did.
Han Solo shot first. There we go.
Get balanced
so,
out.
Does anybody want to guess what my pick is going to be?
It will either be Mitt Romney or Mitt Romney.
Or Sarah Palin.
No. No. It's a book. One of the books I got for Christmas. It's the Steve Jobs biography. Granted, this did come out in November, but I'm making my way through it now, and it's some of the things because they come out over the time and they become public knowledge. But there's some interesting tidbits in this book that you ought to check out if you're at all interested in the history of Apple, or even if you're just someone who likes tinkering with hardware, because that is how Apple started, two guys tinkering with hardware and then build it up and off you go. And of course it goes into his early life too, about how Apple was started and his first job and everything like that. So
you're going to be dropping apps in the next couple weeks?
Interesting. No.
Okay.
You'll be dropping
that was in the
acid.
That was in the chapter about before he dropped out from college there.
Mm.
Yeah, I want to get that book on audio, but I don't have time to read it.
See?
I don't have time to do it.
Reading books via audiobook is the same thing as reading.
Yes, but I don't have time to do it, so.
Just put it in before you go to bed and stop it before you fall asleep.
If I go to bed, I'm going to go to sleep. I don't mess around.
Okay. All right.
So
what have we been doing? Let's let Paul go first.
Well, since the last time I was on here, I made my Hackintosh, and it is working fabulously, as I have not cut out a single time or crashed, which isn't overly unexpected, but it's working, and I have a new fan on the way for it, so that's good. And I've got a fan controller for my desktop coming, so I can quiet that thing down too. And what?
What?
Yes, I'm not just talking to myself.
Oh, this is good clip show material. Paul's talking to himself.
God damn it.
Was it the cat?
No, it's not the cat.
Who was it?
Who do you think it was?
Mama.
It was my mom. No, it was my mom.
Oh, okay.
It's always mama.
I just happened to look in the corner of my eye. She's standing in the corner. Just be quiet about that, Shane. Oh, now the cat's coming down. Speaking of the cat, he's going to follow her out. Yeah, so...
Addy?
Okay.
Yeah, so I did that, got last of my books for school this next semester, which starts not this coming Monday, but the following after that. And... I'm next weekend I'm going to be in Massachusetts with friends, so... Joy.
Okay.
Yep. How about Trekkie. Either of you? Trekkie.
I died in God Wars Dungeon and lost my Fury Amulet.
It's 10 mil. I was looking that up earlier.
Yes. I thought I brought my Ring of Wealth. Turns out I did not, and I had no teleport to get out. So I was stuck there, and Lieutenant Smack actually died before me, so I managed to bless his gravestone, but there was no way in hell I could get mine, so... I lost, so we gained 30k, but I lost like 12 mil getting all my stuff back. Luckily, I did not bring my chaotic rapier. That would have sucked even more.
That would have not been good.
Yes. Yeah, I saved my most valuable items that I could have, and that was okay. Bought everything else back. Basically, okay. Glory Amulet paid for the stuff that I just lost.
You have $10 million worth of glory amulets?
No, I've been selling them for the past 6 months or so. I keep buying. I've been merching them. I've been buying them and selling them and buying them and selling them and yeah, I make good money off of them. And, nice. I've told people how I do it, but people don't listen, so I'm not saying it anymore.
Can't really blame you there.
I told people more than once on the friend chat and on the forums and. Well, you don't want to listen? Fine. If I was Mitt Romney, you would be fired, because I like firing people. Yes. And I think, you know, and Mitt Romney, I'll say this right now, if you promise to fire people in Congress, I would vote for you. But since you won't, I won't.
Nothing like a 6% approval rating. Oh, yeah.
All right. So,
you already know
who as for me, this week... I have been, I did the quest in RuneScape, so aside from that, herb farming and whatnot, usual. Aside from that, Grand Exchange portfolio fixes, tweaks, and stuff like that. And with that, also, I've been working on my Objective-C application. That's coming along nicely. So that's what I've been doing. And, you know, it's nice to take a break from PHP and just throw a little... things here sparkled in here and there, and then I think next week time to start planning the next RSBNB project. So yeah, that's all I've been up to really. So
very nice.
I believe we are done for this episode, unless either of you guys have anything else to say.
Show up to the PC gaming events on Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. RSBNB time.
Okay.
Stay healthy and happy MLK Day next week.
Yep, Monday.
Alrighty then. Thank you for being with us, everyone, and we'll see you all next week.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.